Last night I tried to find a folder, but only to find this folder. The population and family planning in China. So I got a wrong one. And as the professor said that later on, and China's population will grow to the 1.6 billion, and that will provide a huge opportunity for our Australian friends to develop economic trade relations with China. So, Mr. Evan Davidson, Chairman and National President of CEDA, David Bice, Chief Executive of CEDA, and Professor Glenn Whiter, State President ACT of the Committee of CEDA, and Your Excellency, my diplomat colleague, the High Commissioner of India. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very honored to be invited at this breakfast to talk to you on China-Australian relations. You know, I'm pretty new here. It's about only 3 months since I came. But I'm not a stranger to this country. I used to work here before, and that was between 1997 and year 2000. So I have noticed that my predecessor, Madame Fu Ying, gave a talk on the same subject at a CEDA function last year. And my English is not as good as hers, and she's now well settled down in Britain with her husband and daughter, coming specially to get together there. And I hope that my briefing today will give you some update information. It's true that our bilateral economic relations have developed very rapidly in recent years. You know, I still remember in the year 2000 when I left here, the trade volume between the two countries only was 8.45 billion US dollars. But last year, the figure has exceeded 33 billion US dollars, almost three times more than that 7 years ago. If we look from the very beginning, when China and Australia established relations in the year 1972, that was 35 years ago, the increase in the bilateral trade is very exciting. From 1972, it took us 24 years to bring our trade volume to 5 billion US dollars. We doubled that in 6 years' time to 10 billion US dollars. Since then, we have been increasing our trade in every 2 years, from 10 billion to 20 billion, then from 20 billion to 30 billion. So that is a very interesting history. I hope that I advise you should keep this. And as for the people-to-people links, only 1,200,000 Chinese visited Australia in the year 2000. But last year, the figure grew to the 300,000, about 150% increase. The number of registered Chinese students in Australia the year when I left was only 9,000. But when I came, I discovered that this figure was about 10 times more, that 90,000 Chinese students. So China has become Australia's number one source country of overseas Chinese. One in every foreign student in Australia comes from China. So the cultural exchanges also have been very closer. as well. In last year, actually, the series of cultural activities entitled Experience the Chinese Culture in Australia comprises more than 60 performances, exhibitions, and forums, etc., which attracts, I think, about 1.2 million Australians. So this is China's ever largest and longest cultural program in Australia. Having said all this, I think there are two factors contributing to the robust development of our relations. First, frequent high-level exchanges have helped building mutual political trust and mutual confidence between the two countries. From China, we always look at China-Australia relationship from both strategic and long-term perspectives. We committed ourselves to further promoting and deepening our cooperations. In the meantime, after 28 years opening up and reforms, China has maintained a very stable political situation domestically and fast-growing economic development. It provides a very solid foundation for China to develop our relations with all the foreign countries, Australia included. From Australia, we have seen a bipartisan policy to develop friendly relations with China. China's development is viewed as an opportunity, not a threat. The idea of containing China is opposed here. So this is the political basis that enables the two countries to work together in all fields very closely. Second, the two countries have high complementarities in all fields, which continuously provides strong impetus for the development of our bilateral relations. Something's wrong with the audience. Never mind. So, in the field of energy and resources, for example, China is now in a period where its industrialization process is accelerating. So, China is in a very strong demand of production materials. Australia has abundant energy and resources, for instance, iron ore, natural gas, aluminium, and uranium, coal, etc., which all China needs. So in the past few years, the volume of the resources that China has imported from Australia accounts for about more than 60% of its total import volume from Australia. That is a very large portion. Take iron ore, for example. Last year, China imported 127 million tons from Australia, accounting for almost 40% of the total volume imported iron ore from the world. So Sino-Australian relations, especially our economic and trade relations, have brought tangible benefits to the people of both countries. On one hand, Australia exports of energy and resources to China significantly contributes to the sustainable development of China's economy. Australia now is China's largest supplier of iron ore and aluminium, the second largest of coal and fourth largest of copper to China. Australia is also an attractive investment destination to more and more Chinese enterprises nowadays. You can imagine 3 years ago, but especially in the last 3 years, the Chinese enterprises are more and more interested in investing in Australia. Especially, they're interested in having joint ventures with our Australian companies, especially in the fields of energy and resources. You know that though I'm here for 3 months, and I often receive some private entrepreneurs coming from China asking for help. They say, well, Ambassador, you know that I've got money. I want to buy some farms. I want to buy some iron ore from Australia, and so on and so forth. So demand is very high. On the other hand, China's economic growth has brought substantial benefit to Australia. Those benefits have helped, in a way, the continuous growth of Australia GDP, fiscal surplus, per capita income, and stock exchanges index. Especially the companies in the resource sectors. However, our cooperation goes well beyond the energy and resources. China also brings opportunities to Australia in the areas of tourism and education. Let me give some figures, as just mentioned. The first is about tourism. A recent report shows that more than 300,000 Chinese tourists visited Australia last year, and they spent 1.5 billion Australian dollars in total. That means every tourist spent 5,000 Australian dollars. The report also predicts that there will be 1.2 million Chinese tourists coming to Australia by year 2012, and their estimated consumption will be 6 billion Australian dollars. But as China's national income keeps increasing and the Chinese tourists' per person consumption will be definitely much higher than the current level. The second is about the Chinese overseas students. As far as I know, our Chinese students, everyone spent here in Australia for about 40,000 Australian dollars a year. Half goes to the school fee, half for their living cost. So let's say every student spent 4 years in Australia. Well, that's the amount is very, very huge. So I think that will contribute 14.4 billion Australian dollars to the Australian economy. While summarizing all these achievements we had from our bilateral relationship, one might wonder whether this rapid development of Australia-China relationship will be sustainable or in a good speed in the future, as we have already reached a very high level. My answer is yes. There are three reasons. Firstly, sustainable and fast growing of China's economy is the massive drive to our economic relations. Just think of the population in China. China's GDP increased by 10.7% last year, and has been in two digital increases for four consecutive years. China now is the fourth largest economy in the world since China adopted opening up and reform policy 28 years ago. China's GDP has grown by an average of 9.5%. per year. So last year, China's foreign trade volume was 1.7 trillion US dollars, an increase of 23.8%. I read a report that for the first quarter of this year, the growth of GDP is also around 10% or more than that. The trade volume last quarter also has about more than 20% increase this year. So China's foreign exchange reserve is over $1 trillion US dollars. China's economy has been more internationalized and integrated to the process of globalization. According to the statistics of the World Bank, the contribution rate of China, the economy, to the world economic growth is 13% in the past 5 years. Secondly, the establishment of FTA between our two countries will surely give an impetus to the development of our two economies. So far, the two sides have held around about 8 rounds of talks, with some progress achieved. Given the differences of economic structures and the level of the development, our two countries surely have their own areas of difficulties and sensitivities. So it's very natural that we may come across difficulties during the negotiations. However, when our Prime Minister Wen Jiabao came last April, and he reached consensus with your Prime Minister that within 2 years we should have a major breakthrough in the negotiations of FTA. So we have the political will, then it's up to our negotiators to discuss the difficulties and try to accommodate each other's concerns, so long as we adhere to the principles of mutual understanding and accommodation, mutual benefit, and a win-win orientation. We will certainly strike a comprehensive, high-quality, and a mutual benefits deal. So once we reach the agreement, it will greatly enhance the level and the proficiencies of our economic cooperation. Thirdly, there are more and more new areas of cooperation between our two countries. Recently, climate change and environment protection have become global issues and a common concern for all countries. The G8 summit had a very comprehensive discussion about it not long ago, and I understand this year's APEC, to be held in September in Sydney, will also list it as one of its top agendas. To address the issue, the Chinese government established a national leading group a few days ago, as you may call it in Australia, Task Force. This group is headed by our Prime Minister and has released a national plan on climate change. So, in this area, Australia has advanced technology in the field of environmental protection, such as clean coal energy, carbon dioxide capture and storage, etc. So our two countries are working very closely in the fields both bilaterally and multilaterally. Bilaterally, at the beginning of this year, we established the joint working group of the appliance of clean coal energy following the initiatives by your Prime Minister. Our cooperation under the framework of AP6 has made good progress. We can expect that to have more and more projects between the two countries in the future. This will provide huge business opportunities, both in Australia and in China. And another area is Australia's financial institutions have gradually increased their investment to China. The Commonwealth Bank, the ANZ Bank, and the Macquarie Bank have all established local branches or joined local financial institutions in China. Some 500 million Australian dollars have been invested there. Since China is accelerating its financial reform and opening up, China will definitely become one of the major overseas business destinations for Australian financial institutions. I'm quite confident of that. So, because as a time limit, I'm not going on to list other areas for the future cooperations. I think what I have said just part of our economic cooperations. So if I want to go on, then the list goes on forever. So this year, ladies and gentlemen, marks the 35th anniversary of the establishment of the diplomatic relations. And our president will come to attend APEC this September, and before or after, he will pay a second state visit to Australia. So we see this visit as of paramount significance for our relationship. We believe that his visit will bring the China-Australia relationship to a new high. Thank you very much.